Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 21st of December, recording at 8:34 p.m. and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, I'll apologize in advance for a very nasal and gravelly voice here, as I've got the office cold, which has been going around in this freezing cold weather we've had had here. Where's that global warming they promised us? Well. On to the markets. First, a quick look at the highlights here. And Asian stock markets mostly drifting, although China checked its decline, but not with anything substantive on the upside. Just a tiny gain. Japan also had a tiny gain. we had a firmer action by far in the European stock markets, showing good gains of up to 2% for the indices, mostly between 1.5% and 2%. And Wall Street has been hovering around the 1% gain or a little bit above. And we've had some new highs. More on that in a moment. The bond markets are quite weak today. Those are bond prices. The U.S. dollar has extended its rally into a fourth week, and it's the same story that we've seen on practically every day since this rally started, whereas the dollar is a little weaker at the beginning of the day here in Europe and also Asia, but then suddenly sort of rallies during the early to midday U.S. trading hours. So the buying for the dollar seems to be coming from the States, and that's also where we're seeing some selling pressure in the precious metals, which were showing some reasonable gains this morning, but then more than reverse those, and quite a sharp turnaround, actually. For instance, we've got gold, which had been... That's practically a $30 turnaround. Gold had been up to $1,119.69 and then dropped down to $1,090, currently $1,092. And industrial metals, however, showed a different trend and are really quite strong today, particularly the nickel market, which surged $845, taking it up to $17,950. And the agricultural commodities, well, let me look at crude oil first. That's down today, $72.47. Natural gas is lower as well. I haven't seen too many of the agricultural commodities, but I can see that soybeans are down a little bit, corn's up a fraction, coffee's up a fraction. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, as we've said on a daily basis for the last 3.5-4 months, we have been in a corrective phase, and that has represented a mean reversion process towards the rising 200-day moving averages. I don't think it's anything all that much more serious than that. But stock markets had run ahead so dramatically from that period of March on into September, punctuated only by a little pullback in June and early July. So they were ahead of themselves and have been consolidating, and that is a healthy process overall. Now, during the consolidation towards those rising 200-day MAs, inevitably some of the weaker stock markets from Africa and the weaker parts of Eastern Europe, some of the Middle Eastern markets that have been under pressure due to property concerns, have all underperformed and either moved back to or slightly below those 200-day moving averages. Then there is a large group of stock markets which have just ranged sideways, And that includes much of Asia and Europe and the North American indices. And then there's a group that have ranged with a slight upward bias, and those have come from the same same regions generally. And the but the to summarize it all, the vast majority of stock markets, global stock market indices, have been ranging basically sideways, well above their 200-day moving averages, but in so doing, have allowed those averages to catch up somewhat and to reduce the overextension that we had seen previously. Now, I was of the view last week that we could easily see a bit of a so-called Christmas rally, year-end rally here in stock markets, because some of the leaders were really quite steady, and then China fell back on supply concerns, and that's really the big problem with China, big in terms of the size of the flotations, because China has floated twice as much stock in dollar terms than the United States this year. And so that supply glut, which the government, I think, has encouraged as a way of preventing things from overheating, that has inevitably taken some time to digest and may well take a further time to digest. But the overall background, I think, remains really quite favorable, and the chart support is not insubstantial. For China, we see the same thing in the property market, where there's been a huge amount of building going on, and that has reduced, along with some government measures to reduce property speculation, but it has reduced that speculation somewhat. If a market's hot, increase the supply, and that's the policy initiative that they have actually taken. Now, elsewhere, I think that when we look around, well, just take China and the rest of the world's stock markets, that the key factor, the key fundamental that has underpinned them so well, at least since March onwards, and the Fuller Money themes had been rallying since October 2008 for the most part. But the key fundamental underpinning them, of course, has been the very, very accommodative monetary policy. And that remains the case today, although a day does not go by that some journalist or analyst somewhere isn't wringing hands and offering an opinion as to when monetary policy will be tightened, while officials have bent over backwards to say on practically a daily basis that there was no way they were going to cut off accommodated monetary conditions too quickly. They set sort of arbitrary dates out there which don't mean anything, just to give the market something to talk about. But the policies remain accommodative, and they are therefore still a very good tailwind for global stock markets and also commodities, where we've seen the greatest degree of asset investment and speculation in the last year. Now, as I say, those positive monetary conditions are not changing as we go into the year end, and I don't think that they're likely to change anytime all that soon. I've often said that central banks didn't know themselves when they were going to change policy, but what they were determined to do is not venture down this path and then pull back too quickly, doing a Japan of the early 1990s, in other words, and throwing their respective economies into a major long-term deflationary liquidity trap. So again, they're determined to avoid that, and I think there's a really quite a good chance that they will avoid that problem. What would have increased that risk would be if we had some serious spikes in commodity prices. And by serious spikes, you know, if you get sugar rallying up, well, it's not all that good because sugar is an important agricultural commodity. If you get coffee, well, lots of us don't like to start the day without our cup of coffee, but it's not going to be anywhere near as serious as if rough rice or soybeans or corn, for instance, go up substantially, because those are food staples. And the overwhelmingly most important commodity in terms of global influence is going to be crude oil. And if crude oil was spiking sharply higher, as we saw in the first half of 2008 and into July of 2008, then that really would force the hand of central bankers. But that's not happening. And so those markets are really quite calm. Are we having an inflation scare, therefore? No. Would central banks like a little bit of an inflationary scare? Well, probably yes, as being preferable to a deflationary scare. But as we stand right now, we don't have a scare either way. And so we still have these accommodative monetary policy conditions. Central banks are not about to be bundled out of it anytime soon, in my opinion. And therefore, we should see this stock market rally resuming. If not now, then I think fairly soon in the new year. What about this U.S. dollar, which has been was this strong for the last 3 weeks, and it's entered its fourth week in that same mode? Well, we did have a lot of dollar shorts there. We know that. We did have some quite bearish dollar sentiment. People have been talking about or writing about a possible dollar collapse pretty much all year. I think subscribers know the Fuller Money view. We have never felt that the dollar was going to collapse, partly because it's kind of a race to the bottom by a number of currencies which are viewed on a which is worse basis. But the dollar, having fallen back to its March to July 2008 lows, where it formed a small base, the US dollar is steadied. That's triggered some short covering. I think the US is not unhappy about seeing the dollar rally, because it gives a little bit more credibility to that often repeated comment about favoring a strong dollar policy while devaluing the dollar by printing more and more of it. But we say we have a steadier dollar, and this is still a drag on precious metals, as we saw again today. Now, the precious metals are oversold on a short-term basis. You can see that if you look at the stochastic indicators in the chart library. Does that mean they'll turn around here? Not necessarily. What we need to see are upward dynamics by the precious metals. And I think pretty well every subscriber knows what that means. But if you're brand new to Fuller Money, welcome. And an upward dynamic would be an eyebrow-raising show of strength, whereas what we've seen in the last 3 weeks have been eyebrow-raising signs of weakness here, as the previously majestically strong precious metals have been hit by this this correction. Now, I think they're oversold. I think they're in a buying region. But more importantly, we need to see the technical evidence that demand is returning. And I think when I say we, I think pretty much the whole world that's interested in precious metals is watching for that. And once it sees that, then I think investors and traders will be emboldened to go in and bid the markets back up again. But the best signal would, of course, be an upward dynamic in the precious metals coinciding with a downward dynamic in the US dollar. We'll get that at some point. My guess is that it's not going to be that far off early in the new year, if not sooner. But we haven't had it yet. And rather than my trying to guess exactly when that's going to take place, I just will state the case that that's what we need to see, and let's wait for it. Now, what else to mention? Crude oil I've already covered. I think it's probably going to range in this $70 region, and therefore posing no threat to the global economy. The factors there that I have felt were important was first that there was quite a bit of crude about, a lot of it sitting in tankers, just waiting for higher prices. But that this breakthrough in terms of rapidly increasing natural gas production coming from the shale rock, this is something that is brand new in this decade, and really mainly in the last couple of years that we have seen this, and it's gaining pace, and is eating into that demand for crude. Anybody who can switch, and it's increasingly not just utilities that can flip a switch almost literally and move from crude oil consumption to natural gas consumption are doing so. And then you've got all those subsidized renewables, from biofuels to solar to wind power, that are slowly making inroads into the crude oil market and will continue to do so. And then, over a longer term basis, nuclear power will make some not insignificant inroads into that crude oil market, as those power stations that have nuclear power stations that have all been approved are slowly developed over the next 5 to 10 years. So I'm more optimistic, as I've said in some other broadcasts, than I ever have been earlier in this decade, about the fact that we have a reasonable chance, with a little bit of luck and continued development of these alternative sources of energy, of avoiding a disastrous crude oil crunch, which a lot of people have been fearing for quite some time, including Owen and me at Fuller Money. But we're more hopeful at this stage. Okay, I think that's pretty much it in terms of the highlights. I have some appointments tomorrow, so I will not be doing the audio. Owen will be, but I'll be back on Wednesday. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.